Today on the podcast, we have Avita Joe, who is a film and TV editor in documentary and narrative, both in the United States and China. Avita, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. This is Avita.
So, do you want to start out just by kind of telling us how you got interested in filmmaking?
Yeah. So basically, I started school, undergrad second degree school in Shanghai Theater Academy when I was in China. So that started my way because I always loved to watch movies and stuff. But my first major actually was environmental engineering, which in another university. But back then, there were seven schools in Shanghai that has this kind of a connection program. Like you can pick other majors from the other school, but you have to keep a good GPA stuff. And so that's what I picked because that's what I really like and what I really love. So that started my film journey. And then after during the school year, I met several friends over there, and some of them graduated earlier than me, and they went aboard to US to keep their continuing study about film. And then when they came back and they talked with me, so gave me this idea of like, hey, maybe I can go to like US to like study film stuff, right? Because before I can never imagine that before those friends told me, hey, that's not that complicated and not that expensive. You can make your own way through that. So that's how it started. And then when I came here, finished my grad school, and during my grad school, I started interning at this commercial studio, independent commercial studio, very artistic. So that's how I started into being intern. And by then, the only thing I know is editing, and I don't have a camera, and my major here is film and TV studies, so it's very based on series and writing papers stuff, not really production. So my boss just like, if you can edit, just give me some material to be very creative to start editing. So that's how I start to edit, and then I got a lot of great feedbacks, and I edited back in China as well, but I never thought about that's gonna be my career, right? So since then in the commercial studio, I feel like I do this thing really quick and I love it, and then people love what I do. Then it starts became a path I can think about and then start it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, for somebody who's maybe abroad, not in the United States, and thinking, well, hey, maybe I should go study in the United States too. Like what was that process like? You said it wasn't hard, right? Were there hoops that you had to jump through? How did you pick what school that you went to?
Right. So basically my friend came back, and what I was really really concerned about is the money and everything, right? That's the main thing about it. And then I started to do research. Actually, very interesting is originally because I'm not sure whether my parents will agree me to study film, which is a really risky business to jump into, right? And spend a lot of money for school for them. So originally I told them, I just want to do like study more. I mean, that's actually how I was thinking about. But I want to do something like close to like more like not even film, but more like entertainment business, that kind of part. So what I picked is actually I picked like six or five school, and I pick like different majors, integrating marketing, something like that, like something like close to entertainment or something like that. So my parents still like feel okay for me to study, but not thinking about wasting time just learning film. But there was only one major, which is about film, which is film and TV studies in Cal State Los Angeles. And eventually that's the one I picked, but that's the only kind of film major-ish in that way. And then for this whole past is like I pick like public universities mostly, and then looking to their tuitions, and then figuring out how I'm gonna do it, and then just figure out what's the financial situation is gonna be is probably the most important thing. And of course you need to have a lot of exams to that point, like language exams and GRE as well. I took GRE as well. And so yeah, it's a long process, and then a lot of things need to worrying about too. But yeah, that's just the beginning of a pass. Yeah.
Gotcha. So this might be like a horrible question, but does everyone in China learn English? Like, you speak it so well. Yeah.
I would say because normal, like every kid started English probably like the third grade, like my generation. Generation started like a third grade. But right now the kids like started in kindergarten or at least first grade, and like it's like such a popular thing already. But I started at third grade, and because English is, it's my generation, like English is the main main course you have to take to go from middle school to high school, from high school to college. So like that's the one of the main three you have to really take and had a good score on, like Chinese, math, and English.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. You know, you might be interested. My sister's school, we both have boys who are in first grade, and my sister's school, they teach Chinese. So he can say, I mean, he can only say a couple words right now. They just started. It's been a couple months, but he'd say like dog, cat, drink, that sort of thing. And I thought, you know, that's such a good idea. And so their theory is like U.S.-Chinese relations are going to be so important that like, of course they should be teaching this at school. So it's a really good school. Anyhow, one of the things that I read about your work is that you have a very unique cutting style.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was back in 2015, and one of your films was going through a festival, was it? Which one?
I think there was one, if I don't know which one specifically you're talking about, but the one got into most festivals and got most recognition is the documentary I added. Like I added that one actually in 2018, and then our first, like we premiered at Hot Docs International like Documentary Film Festival in Canada, and that started our like the journey for this film. So it went from Canada, and then the next bigger one we got is the KVIFF, which is Karlovy Vary International Film Festival in Czech. That's like the it's also an A-level film festival, and then we got the special jury award for best documentary, and that's very big. And then it started from there. Like it's a Chinese film, but we started in Canada, and then we go all around in Europe, and then we went back to China like almost by the end of last year. Like we also got like best documentary in Guangzhou International Documentary Film Festival. So that one, I would say it's very interesting. It's a very indie film, but it got way more recognition from both Europe and in China, like way out of our imagination. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you mind if we play your clip for a minute so people can see what we're talking about? Okay.
Who is she?
My story is all I have.
Are you following me?
Where did we leave off?
Blackouts.
What did you discuss for 4 hours?
Human terrain analysts do not gather intelligence.
This is what we do. Just little by little. Moment by moment.
She has nothing to do with that. Seats need air, water, light.
妈妈，我想背靠着你。小懒熊，起床读书啦！我希望我们家大家都学儒家文化。那种家庭的氛围是特别温暖的，特别令人向往的。
教育五子，十字光的。哦，
无间的师徒在全世界各地纷纷兴起。
难道一定要送吗？
你还是不赞同是吗？
妈妈，我每次都想你。
每个人生活的群体是不一样的，不要影响到三个人的生活就可以了。
他觉得我老是悬在空中的，老是好高骛远。
你问问你爸爸，老是这个样子对不对呀？
我简直都气了。
我们还有没有可能回到从前？
妈妈，怎么还一直往下吸水呀？
嗯。He's so sweet. Was he an actor? The little boy, was he acting?
No. So what I picked for this tree is more like the way I kind of like in my past. Like, so I started that, like editing a lot of tabletop commercials, which is the first popcorn version. That was the studio I was interning at the first. So I did a lot of those kind of crazy, like, make the food as the character, like very out of the box kind of a thing about the food. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started, and then move on to like narrative stuff a lot, and then so the second one is the one I actually worked with the directors the second time. She was elected in AIFI DWW, which is director or like a woman program. And that's the thesis I added for her. And then somehow started like, because in 2017, I start to work on as the first AE in Netflix documentary series, Making a Murder season 2. So that's how I'm starting like in documentary world. And somehow a lot of documentaries coming to me. And then the last piece, which I didn't edit it, I didn't edit the trailer of the third piece. That's the trailer. We have a trailer editor edit it. But that's the documentary I was mentioning earlier. We just went to Europe and come back to China in US as well. That's an actual family kind of a documentary talking about self-growth, education, that kind of stuff. Yeah, so it's all like a documentary. It's not acting at all for the last piece.
Gotcha. So how would you describe the unique editing style that you do? Do you feel that it's unique? A couple of people wrote that about you, so I'm curious to see, like, mm-hmm. And the popcorn thing was definitely like super unique in that it was going forward and then it was going backwards and then there's like glitches, like, right. But it's probably not documentary style. You probably do something different, right?
Right. So I would say for the food one, it's more like, it's very special because my producer and director was just basically giving me a lot of freedom to be creative. So it's based on music you pick, or we will think about a story based on this food. It depends on how they shot it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even like for this popcorn one, I think they already have this kind of basic idea, but they were just shot a lot of the shots. And then after I watch them and think about it and to see, hey, what kind of story I can give it to this image. So basically you write something out of it, or we will write together, like me and the director or the writers working over there. So it's more like you just like jump in this kind of idea and be as creative and as fun as you can. So you don't really have any limitations, right? Your limitation is just it's whatever you were given to, you need to work from it. Mm-hmm. But there's no like a story continuity or anything that kind of a limitation. But for documentary, is totally different. It's more like, because editors for documentary is more like a writer as well. Most of the time you have the footage and then you need to know how to write, or you have so many footage, which story I should go to and which direction I should go, what this how should I structure this character and how should I structure this story. You basically create it with the director together. So it's more like a discover and explore with the director together.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you guys find that path little by little, it could be frustrating, it could be like slow, it's like slow process, but once you guys found it and then you, it goes quicker. But for a narrative it's different, because narrative, it could be like one scene or one shot has like 10 takes, right? Like it's exactly the same. It's opposite of documentary, like some stuff you only have one, or you don't even have it, you have to cheat a lot of stuff. But for narrative, it's like one scene, you have 5 or 6 different takes, then it's more like you need to know which one works best for the acting. Like, does the acting works well? Does the emotion place well? So it's kind of like definitely narrative and documentary editing skills or techniques can mix together a little bit. You watching documentaries footage a lot helps me to point out what actings are good acting, because documentaries basically there are no intentionally acting unless the person in front of the camera is somehow acting as well. But that's different compared with actors acting. But you can see which one is more genuine from the actors acting in the narrative ones. So that one will help. And then, yeah, and in narrative, the editor's job for shaping the story was way less, because you already had the script and then it's being shot that way. But also there are many times for a first-time director or second-time or even like early stage directors, they might don't have something on set, or maybe because of time, money, or any kind of situation. Then working in documentaries also can help you to, like, you know, how we can just make something out of maybe you don't have it, that kind of stuff.
It work, yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do you know, like, if you say you get a project and it's a documentary and they've completed shooting all the footage, and you as the editor are sitting down and you're going through everything, like, do you need to figure out, like, in your own head if it will work as a documentary? Like, what if something just so big is missing that you can't make it? Has that ever happened to you?
Mm-mm. Yeah, like for that Chinese documentary, well, like before me, there are other editors, and the film was like about 4 years ish, and then she already had several cuts versions, and she showed to people already. She showed me before I worked on getting on board. So there are just major issues, like the audience don't like her, they feel like the film doesn't flow at all, and it feels like the character doesn't really matching. And there were a lot of bigger issues. So it's more, for that specific piece, it's more like I get familiar to the footage first, and then I'm going to ask her questions, like what kind of story, because no matter what kind of footage you have, as a director, you need to have your idea of what kind of story you want to tell. They might not know at the early stage, but they will know later by later. So also trying to communicate with him or her about what kind of story you want to tell, what's this character you want to, the stories you want to shape, what's more important for you. And then we can look back into, because they shot the whole thing, so they have this kind of idea and like in their head, right? So, and then go back to like carving down the footage and to see what we can work together to make that happen, basically. Mm-hmm. To try to see how to make that happen. Mm-hmm. No matter how big it is, it's always going to be, you have such a big thing. And then you nail down. Eventually you will know exactly what you need. No matter how much footage you had before, a lot of them just being carving down through the process. process. Yeah.
So let's say, for example, you have a character and, and the director or the intent of the film is for that character to be sympathetic. Like, people need to like her, they need to feel for her. I think Toy Story, have you seen Toy Story? When they
the first one?
Yeah. I forget which one exactly. I think it was I forget which Toy Story, but the character Woody, they wrote the first thing for Toy Story and Woody was just not likable. Everybody hated him. They screened the film. They just thought this character is so mean to all the other toys. And then they redid it and he doesn't really come off that way anymore. So what are some ways that you as a documentary editor can take documentary footage where the characters aren't relating in the way that it's meant to be to help people feel for that character?
For that piece specifically, for Confusion Dream, we have that issue for a long time. And then, so as an editor, first I need to figure out who she is. And then I need to feel like I can connect to her first. Like, and I need to find out what is her, like, from her heart, like what is her past, why she's being so crazy about it. Let's find out what is the real reason behind her. Because my director really feels for her. So it's more like you really need to connect with your the characters. If it's a character-driven or a verity-driven piece, you really need to feel for that character. And when you're doing test screening or people's feedbacks, you figure out what is their notes, like why they don't like her. Okay, let's say people feel like she is crazy or she treat her son very cruelly. That's how they feel. That's why they don't like her. And they don't connect to her, like why she's being so crazy. Then, but what I take from it is if that's the character the director pick and she lived with them for a while to shoot that character, then that means there's always something behind the characters, how they show up, right? She is so frustrated. It's because of the relationship between her and her husband caused that issue. So how you can put that in there? What does she really want for her kid? What does she really want for her? So there is a transition there. Like, eventually she realized that she's doing everything not for her. She's not for her kid, it's for her. So you figure out your character's background and what they're really driven is, and then write their story. If it connects to you, then it will connect to the audience.
Gotcha. And choosing you as the editor, I think this is the same film. She noted that your appreciation for diversity made you the right person to edit this film. Do you think that being from China was really important in crafting it?
I think it's more like, I don't know whether it doesn't matter. Like I come from a different country or something, but what I can say is like, if I came from this culture and I went into another culture and then I look and see, so maybe I will, no matter, even if it's not me, if it's someone else, they see more things, they see more diverse of cultures and peoples and everything. It might gonna help them to be like more open-minded or like more, how do you say, like easy to understand what different people's perspectives, to help them to be like more open-minded and easily to feel different people's like feelings. Mm-hmm. Maybe that will help. But I don't want to say like if you don't go to another culture or a country, you are not eligible for it, like editing or something like that. But I would say it's more like this is the opportunity for me to be like really feel more about other peoples or different class of peoples or different group of peoples. And also like watching footage, and then especially for documentaries, it's also helping you to be more compassionate and understand for other peoples and other, I would say that maybe will help.
What are some of your personal goals as an editor?
My personal goals. Wow, that's a very important question, which I'm still trying to figure out. I mean, I would say like for a long time, I would just say like for editing wise, it's more like you have the ability to pick projects. That means like based on your own time, based on your own financial plans, and based on your own like time schedule wise, right? Like, do I have enough time to do this, and how much money I can get it from it? And that's one thing. And the other thing is, if it's like in the ideal world or perfect world for editors, it will be like you, most of the time, directors with direct, like famous directors, they always work with one direct editor, pretty much. If you go search those famous directors, their works, you will find out like pretty much all of their, most of their work are done by one editor, because this editor and director relationship is very hard to find and cultivate and then, you know, grow and then eventually like have great products later. And also editor and directors are probably the two people are working together the longest time for one project. So ideally it will be, as an editor, you can find the right team to work with, which can both support your creative goals and also support your financial goals as well. Because editors do, I would say, film crews work extremely long hours and hard, and you know, so I do think they deserve, they do deserve like financial support as well, like the good level of financial support. So ideally it will be you find this team or find this director to work with, like constantly they have projects and you, so you can have projects, and then you guys can work together like in a longer sustainable way.
Mm-hmm.
And also for me is also like, if I have the opportunity later in the years to be more, if I have more and more enough experiences, I also would like to share with people in different ways, you know, whether it's like being teaching, because I was, we have this organization called Creating Creators in here in California, basically in LA as well. They will teach like elementary schools or those public schools, middle schools and high school students, like about like film making or something like that. So which is really fun to do. So if I have more and more experiences, maybe I can share with like people as a teacher or like a coach, and to share my experiences or like my skills, because for editing, skills is not that difficult to learn. So I guess it's more like career goal, like coaching or maybe artistic stuff to sharing about. I'm not quite sure about artistic stuff to share or teach, but definitely that's going to be another side of goal except just working in editing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like finding that director relationship is kind of like, it's kind of like dating, you know?
Yeah, like, it's like they were saying like it's like a marriage, not like dating.
Yeah,
not dating, not a relationship, but marriage already. Yeah, like there a lot of negotiating, and then, you know, a lot of bearing through long times together with tedious stuff, and then also psychologically supporting as well.
Yeah.
Mostly from editors to director. Yeah.
From editor to the director.
Yeah, yeah. Director is more vulnerable, you know, because this is their baby, you know, they really care about that. So you're an outsider, how to help them to get their baby coming out, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm just an editor. I'm not going to taking ownership of this product. I'm helping him or her to create this thing. I'm not going to jumping above him or her to like, this is my work. I'm going to, you will give suggestions and ideas, and then see, this might not be a great idea, or you give them multiple options, like, okay, I can do this, and as long as you have time and to do that, right? So you give them multiple options so they can see what are they, and they can pick what they want, and then help them to make this work they are really proud of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that one thing that I get self-conscious of personally when like showing work that isn't finished to somebody who needs to see it, like the camera crew or the director, just the whole team, is that like when showing them the incomplete project and receiving that feedback, it's almost like, I'm not sure if they're aware that I know that this is not like a final product. Like it's definitely not, but I just need the feedback, right? Do you think that in your experience that the director understands that this is not your proposed final product, that like it's just a stage for feedback?
Yeah. I mean, that's also the trust between you and the director, right? So if you guys worked before and then had a good relationship before, that's gonna make this process way easier. Then, like most of the time, the first cut probably, and then you will be a little bit nervous because they never see anything before. This is the first time they see how it looks like. Then, if you guys worked before, it might gonna make you mentally a little bit ease, but. The first cut is always going to be like more like you are a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
But I will always tell them, of course you want to make as much as you can do. Also, you want to tell them, this is the same. We want to make sure the direction is correct. Like this is the direction you want it to be. If there's no huge issue, and then you can talk through about that. I mean, that's how working with, directors who know what they want is very important for editors as well. You work with somebody who doesn't know what they want can be a little bit tricky and more difficult. So you have really to also help them to figure out what they really want as well. Like if they don't know, then think about how to ask questions and maybe ask a more specific question. So make them start to think, and then at certain point they will figure out what do they want. So it's more like a communication process as well between editors and directors. Definitely the trust is very important. Sometimes can be frustration as well.
What do you think is the hardest thing that you've had to do in your career?
I would say the hardest thing, for sure, there's one thing for editors also is like being freelancer, right? Like being a freelancer is very hard. Like you need to have your mentally be prepared. Like you have something, and then it's like a gig industry, right? So you have something, and then you don't have anything, and then you have something.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have something, you are like working like a dog, like 12 hours a day. You are so exhausted for like a month, 2 months sometimes, and then you have nothing for like a little bit of time. So it's kind of like very dramatic lifestyle. You have a lot of stuff and you have nothing. You have a lot of stuff, you have nothing. So mentally be prepared and then think about what do I really want? That's kind of a challenging thing for me too as well. But I know it's very challenging for a lot of freelancers. And that's for sure. And then like planning your financial things as well is also can be struggling for freelancers as well. That's also another downside of working as a film crew sometimes. And then I would say creatively, I don't think there's any difficulty or something like that, because it's more like teamwork and then communication little by little. More like for me, it's more like sometimes, oh, it's very long hours of working or a lot of pressure because of the budget, and they have become like compressed, and then it's a lot of like mentally working long hours kind of a pressure on me. That's very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it might happen to every single freelancer or film crews before. So, but I would say it's always going to be happening. So
yeah.
just planning what you really want, maybe what's the next step you wanted for your career is to make you feel better about that. Yeah.
What is maybe one or two ways that you like decompress when you go from the 12 hour days to the nothing and then back? Like, are there mental exercises that you do to kind of help yourself still grounded, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. I would say it's I still need to practice about that more. I would say like it's more like maybe have your mental be prepared before this happened. Mm. So then when it happened, you can, you know, you can feel up a little bit better. You know what's going to happen. Yeah. So what is going to be the next? So always be a little bit ahead of, instead of like you always feel like you were being pushed to, pushed to like working so hard. You were being pushed to take a rest or something like that. So mentally be prepared a little bit and like ahead of that.
Okay.
I think that's probably will help.
That makes sense. So what kind of films do you hope to be working on in the next couple of months, the next year? Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you?
I mean, before this whole like pandemic thing started, and it's more like I'm actually thinking about working for like a longer term. Like I would say, like if I can work in a TV show, right? Like working in the TV show, because that's a longer like gig, that would be great. Like I would want to do that. Or if it's a really good like dog feature thing coming up, it might gonna come up actually in summer, then I would want to do that too. So it's more like if it's a longer gig in a more stable working environment, I would totally want to do it. Or if it's a really good content, but a little bit risky, I would want to do that as well. So it's more like picking from longer, stable, financially stable, like gig, and also learn a lot of experience as well. Or if it's a really good content, like an experience you don't want to miss in your lifetime, I would want to do that as well. So
So your parents weren't quite on board with the whole film college thing. How do they feel about what you're doing now?
It's more like because I was talking to them like how much it is and then what I want to do in the future, but then everything just working as itself, like I didn't really plan anything. I mean, now they kind of used to it already, so like this is how it is, you know. As long as you can feed yourself, then that's fine.
Good. I know parents can be kind of like they want certain things from their children's. My dad's thing was always that he wanted me to be a stay-at-home mom, so like that was really hard when I started my career, and then like I wound up doing what he wanted me to do for a while, so that's kind of a different thing, but do you have any advice for women who are getting started in the industry and how they can find success in pursuing a post-production career?
Yeah, actually, I do. I mean, definitely the whole film industry is very male-driven, and then post for sure. Like, but the good thing is I feel like for editing-wise, not like about VFX or tech or DIT, like for editing-wise, there are like quite a lot of female editors or assistant editors in the industry. I would say I work with a lot of female directors. I don't know how that happened, but it just like happened. I didn't really try to pick or anything. I work whatever I have, right? But I work mostly with female directors, which is very interesting. That helps me a lot. And then they will introduce me to other directors. And then I think that maybe helpful. I don't know, and it's just my own personal experiences. And also for female editors like me as a foreigner and then as a female working here, is also like I would say just you might probably need to try harder in a way, like because people will see you as maybe you're not as like as tech as a guy. Like you're not very technical, hands-on or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But the good thing is, if it's just for editing, like editing technique is not very technical. So it's more about telling a story. And a lot of times in editing room or in front of a computer, you're with directors, it's more about communication skills and how you understand their footage, how you understand their story. I would say actually, female probably has more advantage on that part than male.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say definitely taking advantage of what you have and more compassionate and then more sensitive about the actings and the stories and the emotion. Because, I mean, the most important thing is emotion. If the emotion matches, it doesn't matter whether your image matches. So I would say female woman definitely has more advantage of that, for sure. So I would say take advantage of that and telling myself to like be confident about like you are qualified for mm-hmm. such and such position or jobs. So don't feel like you are not qualified for that, because technical stuff can be scary, but you always can learn. And for editing wise, it's not very complicated technical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So figure out what do you want to be in this industry, and then find out what do they require you to do, and then prepare yourself for that position. So maybe that will like very helpful.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of indie experience, right? Is that how mm-hmm. you kind of broke in, was through an indie?
Yeah. Because I never went to a film school and everything like that. So I don't really have a like school mentor or like people to look like go to your school and pick you or something like that.
Right.
So yeah. So pretty much you have to work or like some low paid job at early time and free stuff, and then find out the director or the projects you want to work with, and then get them to have some recognitions from the festivals, and then put your name on there.
Mm-hmm.
Help for sure. Yeah.
How did you personally find like a director in indie who was on their way to a festival? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty hard actually. I don't think I would say a lot of time is luck. There's no, I don't know what his technique is going to be there. So I would say like maybe pay more, go to more workshop stuff, and then like social networking things, and then talk with people and like exchange your information. And then hassling is not fun, but like trying to do that for yourself. And then sometimes it's just one person, or this person will link to someone else.
Yeah.
Will eventually make you guys meet each other. It's very interesting. So it's more like you have to do a little bit, at least get out of your comfort zone, and then you never know where you're going to link to where. But you can't like force yourself to get something, because then you will feel like, oh, I didn't get this, I didn't get that. Like, it can be really hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, it's almost like if you keep working, you're never really sure where you're going to be going. But if you keep getting projects under your belt, you're going to go somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you have a director you really want to work with, or a TV show you really want to work with, mostly a TV show, right? You have a TV show you really like, you want to work in that TV show, and just figure out who you can find who are working on that TV show, and then mm-hmm. try to make connections, and make your move, you know, a little better.
Mm-hmm. Are you currently working on Making a Murder, or was that a previous project?
That was from 2016 till the end of 2017.
Okay. Which is a long time, you know,
it's a longer, very long thing. Yeah.
That sounds nice. I mean, so much of what we do is like freelance or like gig economy stuff. The job security just mm-hmm. really isn't there for very long, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's a challenging career.
Okay, well, did I see on your IMDb profile that you actually wrote one of the projects that you edited?
Oh yeah, it was The Confusion Dream. So basically, I shared the writing credits with the director together.
Okay.
So basically, it was me and her like crafting this story together.
Gotcha.
That's why I said editor for documentaries, a lot of time they should have writing credits actually.
Oh, I get it. That makes sense. Yeah. Of course. Okay. I think that's all the questions that I had prepared. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we kind of close things up?
I would say like, first of all, thank you for doing this. And then I like this title, Woman Imposed. And then I do feel like well, we should get more like attention for the women working post because we have women in film, we have women in whatever, cinematographers or something like that. But women in post is like, I haven't really seen anything like a group or organization just putting female working post-production together. So that's very interesting. And then being supportive to each other mentally or informationally, it's going to be very helpful too. So yeah.
I hope so. Thank you. And thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate you learning about your jobs and your skills, and it's been wonderful.
Well, I would always love to share.